deeper in the love of Jesus. Daily, let me go higher, higher in that school of wisdom. Go for a place to go deeper, oh, deeper your time. Rise up and sing, Lord, in thy precious holy word. Blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper. Oh, hallelujah. Life is wholly lost in Jesus, and he's perfect.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these offerings and tithes, O Lord.
Amen.
We lift this basket in your presence, O Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Requesting your blessing upon your children, O Lord. Let the heavens open, O Lord, so that we can see abundance that we have never experienced before, O Lord. Let your children prosper in everything, O Lord. We commit it into your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let's sing one song. We have we'll ask Sister Lydia. We'll just call upon her anyway. Amen. Let's just sing. Let's sing that song while she's coming. They were in a harbor. Oh, they were holy. Oh, when the Holy Ghost, when he descended as was born in his heart. Hallelujah. Oh, send your power, oh, send your power, oh, send them.
God bless you, Saints. I would like to sing this song, especially for Sister Daniela, who is going to be baptized. Also, Brother Daniel. So, it's G, it's low. You don't know what to do next. God will give a light to you. Wind, shadow, storm, hurricane, God will turn them away. Mountain high all around you will give way to Jesus. In His love you will be healed out of your worst wound. Jesus se ponio te je te sve, da na svojim plećima. Znam da će tvoje sestra poneti, poneti. Jesus je ponio tere te sve, da na svojim plećima. Znam da će tvoje brate poneti. Problema što Bog ne može riješiti. Visoka brda što On ne može prenijeti. Svaku buru i On može utišati. Može uplašiti. Znam da ruka na ramenu mom bila je Hristova.
Aleluja.
Šaptao tihi mi glas, znaj volim te. Znam da ruka na ramenu mom bila je Hristova. Šaptao tihi mi glas, još prati me. Znam da ruka na ramenu mom bila je Hristova. Šaptao tihi mi glas, znaj volim te. Znam da ruka na ramenu mom bila je Hristova. Šaptao tihi mi glas, još prati me.
Amen. Aleluja. Amen. Let's sing that chorus and we'll ask Sister Esther has a song to sing and Brother Feli has a testimony, so they might go together. Let's sing that. We'll sing that. Oh Lord, send the power. Send your power, Lord. Send your power, Lord, send your power, Lord. Send your power, please, Lord. Send your power, Lord, and baptize you. One more time, send your power, Jesus. Send your power, Jesus. Thank you, Sister Lydia, for that song. Very nice. Amen. The sister still has her talent. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of all deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Love. Amen. child of God. I am a child of God.
God bless you, Saint. See, I'm a bit nervous. Well, it's just a quick and short testimony, about 2 minutes. This happened, I think it was at least 2 or 3 Sundays ago. It was, I woke up in the morning. I was thinking, yeah, today I feel good. I really want to be in the house of the Lord. And then just when we're about to leave for church, something happened. I started feeling really sick. And then while feeling sick, I thought maybe, I probably just need to go and use the restroom for a bit. So I went in. After using the restroom, the pain started getting worse. So I couldn't even walk anymore. So I told my dad, look, I don't think I'll be able to make it for service today. So he told me, okay, that's fine. I can stay home. And while I stayed home, the pain kept getting worse. So I decided, just when I took off my shoes and I was going to lay down in the bed, something told me, just pray, at least a 30-second pray. And something could happen. So I decided to pray. Well, it was a simple prayer. I just said to God that, look, I really wanted to be in your house today. So if you heal me right now, I'm sure going to take the bus and be in your house. And then, so after praying, I just laid down for a few minutes. And I felt better. So I was thinking, so I'm fine. So let me just stay home then. You know, there was no point. So then something came up again. I said, remember, you told me as soon as I heal you, you'll go to church. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll keep my side of the deal. So I got up, and then I was going on my way to church. I took the first bus to get to the shopping center, because at the shopping center, I needed to take the second bus to get to church. While I was in the second bus, I looked. I didn't have enough coins for the second bus. Then I seen the bus that I was supposed to take. It was leaving. So as soon as they left, I looked at the time for the next one. It said they'll be there around 30 minutes. So I was like, I can't wait for 30 minutes. So I'll try go walk around the other side so I can catch the bus that just left. So while I was walking around, I seen the bus that just left and went past again the second stop. So I missed it the second time. So I was thinking, I was like, let me just go home then. There's no point. I can walk home from here. And then something told me, no, just wait there. Just keep waiting. So I was waiting and waiting.
Hallelujah.
And I seen a bus coming. So I was like, it's going to be a bus driver. I'm going to give him like 1 year or something. He's probably going to start complaining. No, you can't enter with this kind of fare. So as soon as the door opened, I seen it was Brother James who opened the door. So as soon as he opened the door, I was going to pay my 1 year or something. He told me, no, don't pay. I've got you. And then I told him, okay, that's fine. As soon as I was about to go off, he goes, look, I've had these 2 leap cards for two weeks now, and no one has claimed to come to get it, or it has not been blocked yet. So I was surprised. Well, he had them for 2 weeks. So I was thinking, maybe this day was supposed to happen. You know. So I started believing all this is happening because of God, and then that's how I was able to come here.
Amen. Amen. We'll sing that song again. You know what surprised me? When the sister was singing, everyone was with their selfies. I said, but where's the selfie? I wish I was there, could have filmed, brother. Because that was powerful stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing 2 choruses and we'll ask our brother David. Let's just sing that. Send the power and we are climbing Jacob's ladder, and then the brother can come.
Oh Lord, send the power. Lord, hallelujah. Send soldiers under.
Right brother comes, we are climbing.
We are climbing, Jacob's ladder.
We are climbing,
Jacob's ladder.
We are climbing,
Jacob's ladder. Soldiers,
every ramp goes higher and higher.
Every ramp goes higher, higher. Every ramp goes higher, higher.
Every ramp goes higher, higher.
Soldiers of God,
if you love him, why not serve him?
Oh, if you love him,
why not serve him?
If you love him, why not serve him?
If you love him, why not serve him?
Soldiers of God.
God bless you. My name is David McGeary, and I'm here with my wife, Leslie, from Dallas, Texas. And, you know, this is my first stop in Ireland, and I'm so happy to be amongst God's children.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciated that song, little sister. Amen. You know, I think it so many times we fail to realize what a privileged people we are. That of all the people in this world and all the people in this city, that God has chosen us to put our names on the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
The foundation of the world.
Thank you, Lord.
To open our eyes and our ears to see and hear the voice for this age.
Amen.
That God so beautifully revealed to us that William Branham was the prophet of Malachi 4:5. He was the angel messenger of Revelations 10:7.
Amen.
That he opened to us the seals that held the mysteries, that we could see who that we are and where that we're going. And so I'm blessed to be here with this mighty church this morning of God's called and elected. I'm glad to be numbered amongst his chosen people.
Amen.
And we have a great hope. You know, as far as my heritage, my family history and background comes back to this country. But really, there's another part of me that comes from another country.
Amen.
And I'm really with the people from that land.
Amen.
And that's what we're here today, is to hear the word that will transform us and prepare us for our soon flight.
Amen.
Away. So God bless you. My prayers are with you. And I know that one glad morning, we'll fly away.
Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over. This life is through. I will the of prison bars are through. Burning days and days.
sweet in the soul. My heart will shout on that devil show. In the soul, my heart will shout on that soul. In the sweet, in the soul. My wish I met on the beautiful shore. In that shore, my wish I met on the beautiful shore.
Amen.
I'm kind of homesick for a country. Oh, for that country to which I never been before. Oh, hallelujah. We'll say goodbyes. Never be spoken. Oh, never again, never again. I will not anymore. You love what I am. I'm longing for you, my Lord. Yes, someday. I will stand. Oh my own shall be eternal. You're a lamb, sweet Beulah lamb. I'm looking by eyes of faith this morning. Across that river, where my faith is gonna end inside. Oh, it's just a few more days. Days to labor, oh, then I'll take my heavenly. Oh, don't be left behind. Oh, I'm longing for. Someday on the ascent, I will say, Oh my own shall be eternal. In a land, beautiful land, sweet
Amen. Thank you for that wonderful encouragement. But we have to keep believing. Amen. It's not about the singing. It's not about being here with the people. It's your personal life with Christ. Amen. Only believe.
Believe, all things are possible. All things are possible if we only only believe. Only believe.
How excellent is his name. Hallelujah. How excellent is thy name. Oh, how excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. Oh, how excellent is his name. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. Excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. Ooh, how marvelous is thy holy name. Marvelous is thy name. Ooh, oh, marvelous you are, Lord, to us. Marvelous is thy name. Ooh, how marvelous is thy name. Is thy name. How marvelous is thy name. Oh Lord, how marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name. Oh Lord.
Sister Saints, his name is marvelous. A prayer request, thanksgiving, first of all, from Brother John. Thanksgiving, I thank God for healing me. And secondly, pray for me for my business in Africa, not to have problems and to grow. So he's looking for the sun of prosperity in his business. Sister Ruda wants prayer for her cousin Stella, who has very high sugar level in Zimbabwe, so we pray for her. And then we've already had our visitors greeted, Brother David and Sister Leslie McGarry from Texas. Thank you for the introduction, Brad. God bless you, Richard. Amen. And we'll read that one at the end. Let's bow our heads before we come to the word. Lord Jesus, we've been singing about your name. Lord, we just want to fellowship in your name. We just want communion in your name. We just want to do everything in your name. So, Father, let all that is of this earth pass away. Father, let our own understanding, let our thoughts, let our reasoning, Father, let it, Lord, bow its knee unto your name upon this day, that you may have the preeminence in the word, that you may have the preeminence in your people. Father, glad to be here this day. Glad for the items that have been sung. Lord, for people expressing something from their souls, be glorified. Bless them, we pray. Father, as we open up the scriptures, how we ask of you, Lord, that you would take the bread of life, break it unto us upon this day. Guide us, Lord, in what should be said, and speak through me and hear in your people, that, Father, this service may achieve its purpose. And as we come to baptism, you be glorified, Lord, as we see people wanting, Lord, to take on your name. Father, because your name is so excellent. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. Father, we want to bring these requests unto thee upon this day. Know this power in your name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this lady, Stella. Father, I ask of you even now, in your precious name, that, Lord, you would visit her in her situation, that she may know the power of your name. That, Father, Lord, you may be glorified in that situation. Our brother John, thank you, Lord, for healing him. Father, knowing he was bothered for some time. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Now, Father, let the same God of restoration work in his business, we pray. Father, overshadow him. Overshadow his business. Give him favor. Open up doors. Lord, let the sun of prosperity express himself in the business of our brother. And, Father, we do believe that he'll give all the glory to you. So, Father, we've come now to the main event, and that is, Father, your word. Help us as we read your word. Bless your word unto us, and bless the service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, saints, let's read two parts of the scripture. As we do greet you in Jesus' name, it's a happy day. Happy day for our family. Happy day for our sister Daniela as well. So we have a Daniel and a Daniel being baptized. So it really is quite appropriate. We really thank the Lord. Let's read Philippians chapter 2 from verse 9 up to verse 11. I found it quite amazing. I was wanting to come to the pulpit and people were singing Only Believe. And I got delayed. And then Brother George sang that song, How Excellent Is Your Name. And that's what you want to speak about, the fragrance of His name. But how excellent is His name. Philippians 2, 9 up to 11. Wherefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My, that's a name above all names. Amen. Let's read the Song of Solomon chapter 1 again. We started on Friday looking at the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon 1. Let's read from verse 2 up to verse 4. I was saying it on the way home on Friday with Brother Nesra. I said, when you read the Song of Solomon as your opening scripture, you get some strange looks from people. People will be looking at you saying, which way is this service going to go? Song of Solomon 1. So it's the from 2 to 4, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Amen. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more. Amen. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated, saints. So we started looking on Friday at Song of Solomon. And we saw one thing immediately with the Song of Solomon is that it's a book of relationship. Now, right from verse 1, verse 2, when it speaks of the Song of Songs, which was Solomon's. Now, Solomon wrote 1,005 songs, if you go and read in Kings. But this was the Song of Songs. Now, we just spoke a little bit about how it was Solomon and the Shulamite. And Shulamite means the feminine of Solomon. You know, so Solomon here is the bridegroom and the Shulamite is the bride. It's so clear, this entire story. But the whole book of the Song of Solomon, it started with intimacy. You see, it started with relationship. The Shulamite had attracted Solomon's attention. She was a shepherd girl. You see, and Solomon, with all of the princesses and all of the nobles and all the high and mighties that he could have chosen from for his queen of queens, him being the king, the prince of peace, he chose this girl. And this book really unfolds why he did and you know how he had to persuade her because she looked down upon herself. But we saw that it starts off with her meeting him. So there's some kind of an introduction, there's some kind of a meeting, and then he brings her now to the palace. He brings her to Jerusalem, you know, and he starts to express how much he loves her. That's in verse 2. But before she can get to verse 4, where she gets admitted into his chamber to go into the most holy place, you know, the secret place, the place of intimacy with Solomon, she has to go through verse 3. She has to catch the revelation of his name. She has to realize how excellent his name is. And once she catches a revelation of his name, that his name is as ointment poured forth. You know, the essence of who he is, because that's what your name is, the essence of who you are, your character. It's your life, your reputation. When she catches this revelation of who he is, and she loves the essence of his name, she can now be admitted into the next verse. She can now go into the chamber. But you've got to first catch the revelation of his name. You know, when he first attracts you, when he first, you know, kisses your soul, reveals himself to you, the next thing that you've got to do is you've got to realize who he is. You know, you've got to catch a revelation of his name. And that's what you hear today because there's two people have caught the revelation of his name. Amen. The Lord's done something to them and they caught the revelation of his name. You know, they're wanting to go deeper. They're wanting to go further in their Christian walk. They don't want to stop just where they are. You know, they know that today water baptism, it's good. No, it's necessary. It's absolutely a scriptural requirement, but there's far more. Because there was far more for the Shulamite as you get into these chapters that come up ahead. And if you continue reading the chapter, when you get to verse 12, you'll find she's sitting now at the table and she is now anointed. And he is rejoicing in the fragrance of her spikenard. You know, so the beginning of the chapter, we find that Solomon, the Prince of Peace, is the one who's anointed, but she catches the revelation of his name. She enters into his name, she enters into his chamber, then she becomes an anointed one as well. And now he is rejoicing in the fragrance of her ointment, just as much as she had been rejoicing in the fragrance of his ointment in the beginning. And surely that's got to be where you want to get to as a believer. No, you want your worship to come up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. No, you want to do something that's pleasing to Him because His name has pleased you. His love to you is better than wine. So you wanting now to, you know, stay in His presence. You wanted to catch the revelation of His name. You wanted to move into this oneness with Him so that you too can express something back to Him. You know, and too many people, maybe they stop short there. So in this book, Solomon, he's playing around with two words here. When he speaks about the name and the ointment, when he says your name is as precious ointment, it's because in the Hebrew, if you go and look in the original, the word for name is Shem. Yeah? And the word for ointment is Shemen. So he's playing around with the ointment and the name. But you want to have a look at that today because the name has a fragrance. There's something about His name, friends. There's something about the name of Jesus. It does something to somebody. It has it's like a sweet perfume that's poured out into the life of a person. Like we saw on Friday, when you spend time in His presence, you come out of there with a different fragrance. You don't smell like the world anymore. You don't smell like Laodicea. You smell this peculiar fragrance of His presence. You've got this anointing oil upon you, which you've received in His presence, and you come out, Paul calls it a fragrance of life unto life, to them that should be saved, and a fragrance of death unto death, to them that are lost. You know, but there's a peculiar something about the fragrance when people have come into His presence. And as you read the Song of Solomon, you find this is the thing which they loved. The thing which they loved the most about Solomon was his name. Like we said on Friday, there were other people that were there, maybe they were there for the riches, and there were other people that were there for other things. But the Shulamite was there mainly for one thing, and the daughters of Jerusalem, because they loved his name. They said, your name is as an excellent perfume, you know, as an ointment that's poured forth. And that is a real testimony of the bride. Now the bride, you can take everything else away from her, she just wants him. No, she wants the revelation of his name. She wants to unite together. She wants that name to be upon her. Now she wants to become Mrs. Jesus. She wants that name. She wants to reflect the name. And the name is so deep. Because the name is the life. The name is the very essence of what a person is. No, so the name is the very central core. No, the real something that's within the veil. That's what your name is. And that's the thing that attracts the Shulamite. Is his name. Is his essence. You know, and to her, she types it, it's like a fragrance. You know, it's like it's a refreshing. It's like something which is so precious to her is this name. And now if you go back in the Bible, that's why you find the Lord's name has been progressively unveiled through the Bible. Because there's something about the name. You know, God's name is not just like you and I. I heard somebody saying it the other day, you know, we just give our children names because they sound good. Or maybe different names go together. So you put them together, you know, 1, 2, 3 names in a row. But it was different in the Old Testament. The name had a real meaning. Amen. No, there was a reason, a revelation. There was a purpose behind the name. And like the prophet says, your name, it affects your life. No, your name sets up your destiny. So when people were given the wrong name, the prophet said, change his name. And by changing the person's name, you could change the whole leaning of that person's life. Now obviously you need a prophet to understand the depth and the spirit and the meaning behind that. But the principle is the same. Because the Lord's name has a meaning. And when he reveals his name, there's a manifestation that goes forth with that revealing of that name. So whenever the Lord wanted to do something in the Bible, he'd reveal a different name. And with the revelation of that name, there was a manifestation. There was a something that was poured out at that time. An anointing that was poured out with a specific anointing, a specific type of an anointing. And that now was released for a specific purpose. So in the beginning, when he creates the heavens and the earth, he creates them as Elohim. The self-existing one. Yeah, the mighty one. That's what he is. So he reveals that name because he's going to create the heavens and the earth. So with the revelation of that name, now there's great acts of power that come forth from him. But as he now comes to the creation of man, we've seen it many times before. He changes his name. He reveals a new name. He reveals himself not just as Elohim, but now in Genesis 2, he's Jehovah Elohim. So he reveals his name, Jehovah. No, his covenant name. So he's doing something different. The prophet says Jehovah means, you know, God was the self-existing one as Elohim, but now he wants to dwell with his family. Amen. So this is his covenant name. This is his family name. Amen. This name only comes forth when he creates man in his image. Now this is something that's been hid inside of his being, something that's been hid inside of his essence, right inside of his bosom. And as soon as he creates man in his image, now comes forth the revelation of Jehovah. There's a certain anointing, a certain revelation, a certain manifestation comes forth, and it achieves a certain purpose. Now Jehovah is not on his own anymore. Now Jehovah is dwelling with his family. He's now got Adam, and out of Adam he takes Eve, you know. And now he comes down and it's good. He looks and he goes and he rests and he's satisfied. But that was the revelation, that when he came and revealed himself as Jehovah. Now there's something about each of these revelations that he reveals himself to. Now, he then comes down and he reveals himself to Abraham. And he reveals himself to Abraham as Melchizedek. No, the king of righteousness. Now he shows he's the priest. A high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's what Christ is. So he starts revealing another aspect. He breaks bread and he gives wine. He gives communion to Abraham. And Abraham pays him a tenth of all. So this is another revelation, another aspect of who he is. And he comes and manifests himself in a certain way. And that manifestation goes with the name that he's revealing. Then he continues on down and he reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh. That's the next one to Abraham. When Abraham now is called up the mountain, he has a great need, you know. And his son is saying to him, you know, Daddy, here's the wood, here's the fire. But where's the lamb for a sacrifice? And Abraham gets in the spirit and he prophesies and he calls him, he says, God shall provide for himself a ram for a sacrifice. And there comes an anointing down. It's the anointing of Jehovah Jireh. With the revelation, this unfolding of his being, of his manifestation, as he comes down now to meet the need of his son Abraham, here comes forth a revelation of his name, Jehovah Jireh. And when he reveals the name, it doesn't stop as that. He manifests the name. He produces, he provides for Abraham the thing that he needs. And here's a ram caught in a thicket. And here Abraham's got his son and he's restored. So then every single one of these places, when he comes down to change his name or reveal his name, something takes place. Amen. There's a specific divine purpose in why he's revealing himself in that name at that time. And the people now that are the beneficiaries of that, like Abraham, when he comes down and he reveals himself as El Shaddai, you know, the strength giver. Yeah, the breasted God, the one that you can nurse strength from. Because he sees Abraham, he's Abraham. Now he's not yet in the condition that he can bring forth the promise. He sees Sarah is Sarai. She's not yet the princess. She's not yet who she's supposed to be to bring forth the promise. So he has to come down to them with a specific revelation of himself. He comes down as the strength giver. He comes down and he says, Abraham, I've given you the promise. It seems the promise is taking long. Don't worry about it. Just come and nurse strength from me. Just come and nurse from my breast. Just come and nurse from me and you'll be satisfied. And as Abraham now nurses now from El Shaddai, he's nursing the power of transformation. He's nursing the very thing that he needs through that. No, but nursing from that revelation that's come down, he starts to get to a stage as a body change. Amen. He's changed to Abraham, and then his body is changed back. So he can now bring forth the promise. And Sarai, now she's not a princess at first. Now she can't bring forth because that's what her name is. And now she starts to nurse strength as well. From El Shaddai, there's a revelation, there's a certain manifestation, and she takes advantage of that, and as that new name is revealed to her, her name is changed as well. And now the real name that God always had in his mind of who she is to achieve a certain purpose, she now is ministered into that new name. She now walks a different course, a different path. There's something new that comes forth from her experience because of this revelation of his name. Friends, that's a very important thing. If you and I are seeking to benefit from his promises, we need to nurse from El Shaddai. You know, we need to be nursing now. The prophet says he has two breasts, the Old and the New Testament. That you need to be nursing strength. When he went to Switzerland, Brother Biskel was speaking about that, saying you need to be eating the food of victory. No, you need to be eating the food of the promise. Eating, partaking of that nourishment that will give you that particular manifestation that you need. You know, so you need to be feeding on the right things. So that he can reveal to you and manifest himself to you in that particular situation that you are. Yeah, and that's how it was with Abraham. It brought about a change inside of his life. So there's always, whenever he reveals his name, there's always an effect. There's an experience that goes with that. And that's why the Shulamite, she's remembering Solomon. It's like a fragrance to her. You know, he's taken her now into the palace. And he has a certain fragrance, a certain ointment that he's anointed with. And whenever she smells that ointment, it'll remind her of the experiences that she had with him. Amen. You know, there's something about that. Because whenever there's an experience with the Lord, there's a particular something that he does for you. You know, and maybe it'll be a certain scripture that you read. Yeah. And the Lord comes in a specific way and ministers right to your soul with that particular scripture. Whenever you read that scripture for the rest of your life, it brings back a fragrance once again. It's like a fragrance which brings back the memories and the reality of that situation and what you were going through and that particular manifestation and revelation and experience that you had at that time. It's the same with messages that you listen to. There's certain messages you listen to where the Lord ministered right personally to your situation at a certain time. It might have been at a junction like it was with Abraham and Sarah. It might have been in a time of trial, whatever that it was. But he ministers something very particular to you. He unveiled something of himself to you through the revelation of his word that you never knew before. It's new to you. You might have had a partial revelation of it before. But now comes something new. There's a new unveiling to you. And friends, it's a certain fragrance in that experience. There's a certain something that lingers. There's a lingering something. If you really think of Abraham when he went up there on the mount. And then the Lord came and delivered him. Imagine Abraham's thoughts for the rest of his life about Mount Moriah. He would have had such sweet memories. Because while he's there, down comes the anointing of Jehovah Jireh. And he experiences it. And he benefits from that name. And as that presence is lingering in the midst of that vision being fulfilled, and he takes the ram and he sacrifices the ram, the angel comes down and blesses him. Amen. With such a sweet blessing. Amen. Gives him one of the greatest blessings of the Bible. Do you think you can have a time where the Lord meets you and he blesses you like that, and it doesn't give you precious memories? Amen. That when you think of that or you come across something, it brings that experience to your mind once again. Yes. You know, something stirs in your soul again. Something stirs inside of your heart. Just as much as the Shulamite maybe should be somewhere else and should smell that fragrance that Solomon used to wear. Now, straight away she'd smell that something would move inside of her. And she'd remember now an intimacy. She'd remember an experience that she had, you know, back there, something which was precious in her experience. And friends, that's what it's supposed to be. No, that's what it's supposed to be. And the more often we can have that, the better it is for all of us. Now, if all of us could come to his house, like we said last Sunday, with an expectation that we can create an atmosphere so he can unveil himself in a greater way. Now, you come with your heart prepared and you come expecting something from the Lord. You'll have far more times where you'll be able to think back. There'll be far more scriptures that will be a memorial in your experience. Now there'll be far more occasions when the sons and daughters gather around his table in his house. That'll be precious times for you. know, those kind of times. I don't think Abraham on Mount Moriah wanted to quickly go home. Do you think he wanted to quickly go back down in the valley down there once again? No, when there's been this anointing and this fragrance and this lingering presence of Jehovah Jireh and this blessing, he just wants to stay in that place. And it's just feeling, but if only I could just stay in this place all of the days of my life. You know, and as he would go down from there, I'm sure in the days and times to go, even as he had come down, there was this fragrance which was lingering in his experience. You know, people could see like Moses when he comes down from the revelation on the mount and the word is unveiled. He goes up in the cloud and you know, there's a revelation of the Lord, the revelation of the word in that age. And he comes down and he himself is glowing with the same glow that he had been in on the mount. He comes down with that lingering presence on him. He wasn't the same and everybody could see. Moses isn't the same as when he went up there. Our friends, that's what you want our experience to be. That's really, really what you want. And as often as we possibly can. You know, we really, really want that inside of our life. You know, those memorials. And that's why you find the patriarchs in the Old Testament, that those kind of times, whenever the Lord would reveal an aspect of himself to them, they would build an altar. Amen. Or they'd raise up a memorial. They'd take stones and they'd raise them up. Or when the Lord reveals himself to Jacob as, you know, I'm no longer just the God of your fathers. I'm now your God. When that was revealed to him, he takes that stone and he sets it up and he anoints it. Because that was an anointed place. There was a specific something that had taken place to him in that kind of a place. You know, and I was saying it even with Daniel when we were preparing for baptism his last week. I said, don't ever let your Christian life start off just as a natural thing. No, don't ever let your Christian life just be natural. No, the Christian life must be spiritual from the beginning. No, once it's not in the spirit anymore, friends, we're back to denominationalism like Brother Max was preaching the other day. That's when the palmer worm and the canker worm that have done their work. But you want your Christian life to start off with a certain manifestation, a certain revelation of his love to you. No, you want there to be at the right foundation that you've started spiritually. And that it's a progressive unfolding as time goes by. That is revealing more and more of his essence to you. As you go through certain circumstances, certain needs, there's an unveiling. It comes a specific anointing, a specific visitation to come and minister to your need. Ah, friends, and that's when you'll say, how excellent is your name? How excellent is your name? Yeah, and that's what he wants to be to us. Because the name Jehovah comes from the root word means to make known. It comes from he wants to make himself known. He doesn't want to stay just what he was. Because he's not the I was, he's the I am. He wants to be revealing himself to you and your situation today and now. He wants to be real and he wants to be relevant where you are. You know, so that you'll, you know, so you're not just going to go around the mountain, round and around. But that visitation that comes and it changes your name. And as he visits you, as we as the bride, we take on his name. Amen. You know, we take on his name. And friends, that's what you want to do. And water baptism is but a stepping stone. Because we're going to baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to take on the name of their husband. But we don't want it just to be an outward act. We want there to be a spiritual manifestation that follows the outward act. That is a real impartation of his name. Through the baptism of the Holy Ghost into the experience as they go into the waters of baptism. That they may say, something's changed inside of me. He made himself real. He kissed me with the kisses of his lips. He kissed me in my soul. He kissed me. He blessed me. He did something for me. Oh, friends, and it just depends on how we prepare ourselves. That determines what takes place in the waters of baptism. And, you know, we were even speaking the other day just with the children, and they were saying it themselves. They were saying, Daddy, we've seen people baptized, but nothing really changes. But you see, other people are baptized and everything changes. And I said, that's the truth. That's what you want it to be. If it's just another day, you know, if your heart's purpose isn't to, you know, fulfill all righteousness, you know, to prepare yourself to do it pleasing unto the Lord, you're just going to the water and come out the same. But if your heart's desire is, I want him to take me into the inner chamber. And I want his love to be to me like wine.
And I want His fragrance to come upon me. I want His anointing to come upon me, that I might reflect His fragrance even when I leave His presence. But I'm taking the same fragrance that He bears. Wherever I go, people will smell His fragrance upon me. Like the early church, it says that they knew, they could tell they'd been with Jesus. There was just something peculiar about them. Those religious people knew, these people have been with Jesus. Now that's really, really what we would desire in our own experience. But you've got to have the experience of it. And that's why the Bible actually says that no man can call Jesus the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. It's got to be revealed to you. You have to have a personal revelation of that. Then you can speak it from your soul. Now you can speak it and there'll be a fragrance that is like oil being poured forth when you speak it. And friends, that's why you find certain people that come and do items. It's such a blessing. Yeah? Because they're singing from an experience. Now they're singing from a freshness of something. That's what you want it to be. They're not singing somebody else's experience, but they've got their own experience. There's something they wanted to express before the Lord. Even the testimony that came, it was a powerful testimony because it was a personal testimony. It was something real. Jehovah Jireh had done His work. He had made a way when there seemed to be no way. And that does something to you. Now, and if you meditate upon that and build upon that, that experience can unfold into more and more and more, just depending on how much we want it to be like that. But it's a very personal revelation.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's a very, very personal thing. But to the Shulamite, this had been a life-changing experience. Now, when she met Solomon, her life changed.
Yes.
Amen.
She could trace her life back to before I met him and after I met him. Because she was just out there in the fields looking after the sheep, looking after the other people's vineyards and so forth. But when she met him, everything changed inside of her life. As we said on Friday, something woke up inside of her that had never woken up before. There was a love. There was a something that stirred inside of her bosom. When she met Solomon, and we know that in this book, Solomon is just a type of a greater than Solomon. Because a greater than Solomon is here. And a greater than the Shulamite is here today. But that's how it started. It started off as a love affair. That's how it starts off in the Song of Solomon. We were speaking with Brother Neso on the way home. On Friday, and I was saying it to him, I said, you know, the Jews wouldn't allow the men to read the Song of Solomon until they were 30 years old. Because you can read it carnally.
Yes.
So you can read it very carnally. You know, you've got to have, like we said on Friday, have had an experience yourself first with Christ. Then when you read the book, you can read it the right way. Because there's a witness of your own experience in the things that are being written. Because now you can apply the things the right way because you've experienced them. In a measure, that's what it is to all scripture for a believer. Now you can read about Acts chapter 2, the upper room. And you know it's true because you had your upper room. You can read about all the different things in the Bible. And that's how the prophet gives the type and says, I was there when Moses went through the Red Sea. And I was there when Joshua stop the sun. It's because in your own measure, in your own experience, you've experienced those kind of things. You might not have stopped the sun, but you've stopped the S-O-N, like Brother George sings about. You've stopped him and he's come your way many, many times. Or other circumstances inside of your life. And that's why it's so important that our life, that's why we said it on Friday, believing the message, not a doctrine, it's an experience. Because the message is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In this age, it's Christ in our age. You know, so to really know the message, it's the revelation of Him. You know, there's the reading between the lines. There's the life beyond the ink on the page. Now that's what you want. That's what you want to commune with and fellowship with. Especially as a young believer, you want to have a good foundation. You want to start things off properly. You know, you want to just move on. You don't want to denominate, like Brother Max was saying the other day. Because it's easy. You can become a one-person denomination. Because you've lost your experience. You know, you might know all the quotes, know all of the scriptures, but there's no supernatural something. There's no burning in your heart. There's no reality of those things anymore. You've denominated. The palmer worms come, it's eaten your love, it's eaten the fruits. And if you're not careful, the next stage, it eats the leaves, and eats the fellowship. You no longer have fellowship with Christ. You don't want to be in His house anymore. That shows that you've been, you know, that Roman bug has been at work inside of your life. If you don't want to fellowship with God's children, it's not them that's to blame. They're not the ones with the fault. There's something wrong in your experience. Because if things are rich and right in your experience, you can even bear with somebody when they're wrong. No, even if somebody lets you down, you'll bear with that person. It's not going to be that you'll turn your back and say, I'm not going to fellowship with him or her anymore because this, that, and the other. No, my friend, you need to come back to the altar. You need to get a fresh experience of who this Jehovah is. You know, so that he can minister something and he can bring now and pour that ointment into your experience once again. That something would make him what he is. Spend time with him and commune with him so that it can become what you are as well. That's what he wants it to be. But friends, it needs a disciplined kind of a life. Especially in this age, this complex age in which we seem so unfitting to live in, the prophet says. No, with this pressure of riches and soft living that the prophet says, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. I like when Brother Tom went to New Zealand and he was fellowshipping with Brother Derek Donaldson. He says, Brother Derek Donaldson gets up in the morning straight from his bed, and that first hour of the day, he doesn't leave the side of his bed. He's 1 hour with the Lord. He's in prayer and he's in the Word. Friend, what a way to start the day.
Amen.
That you don't even do anything else, but as soon as your feet hit the floor,
Amen.
You're starting with the Lord.
Amen.
But that needs discipline.
Yes.
If you love sleep, that's not going to be an easy one. Now, if you've got to be pressing snooze on your alarm 3 times, and then you're rushing to get to work, then you need to make some adjustments inside of your life.
Amen.
When I was in Pentecost, the pastor used to say that. I've said it many times before. He says, yeah, if your output exceeds your input, your upkeep is your downfall. And if you think of it, it's true. Now, if you're giving out more than you're taking in, then the way you're living is your downfall. Now, your upkeep is your downfall. So you've got to balance the things out. We need to know strength from El Shaddai. We need to come into the presence of a greater than Solomon. We need to allow him to minister us deeper and deeper, as he was doing with this Shulamite woman. Because she had, when she met Solomon, it was a life-changing experience. It was completely, it changed her life. It changed her ambitions, changed her thoughts for the future, changed what she thought about herself. Everything started to change when he now revealed his love to her. And something woke up inside of her. And she started now to express love to him and started to follow after her desire. Not to follow after the leading that he gave. And that's why she says it, I think in verse 3, she says, draw me and we will run after you. She says, just, you know, speak to me, draw me in some way. And if you do it, it's an eagerness. I will run after you. You just do something for me, Lord, and it's not going to be that you're going to just, you know, say, the Lord's trying to stir me up in my heart once again. The Lord's trying to, you know, bring a revival inside of my soul. Let me see what I can do. But there's an eagerness there.
Amen.
And that's the only way you can make it in this kind of an age. Because there's so much against you. There's the flesh, there's the world, there's the pressure, there's the atmosphere of the age. Now, if you don't have an eagerness inside of yourself to know him, to walk with him, it's not going to take care of itself. You'll be like the foolish virgin. You know, you can have all of these hopes and these ambitions and speak of all these great things, but you don't have them in your experience. Because you didn't go and buy the oil. You didn't stir yourself to go and get it for yourself in your experience. And it's a real, real important thing. In the tabernacle, when the priest would go, and the high priest, we know that he was anointed with a specific type of oil. That holy anointing oil from the temple. The Lord didn't allow that under pain of death. Nobody could impersonate that. Nobody could go home and make that same anointing oil. That anointing oil was specific to the tabernacle. It was a specific, when you went to the tabernacle, there was a certain fragrance you found nowhere else. That's what it's supposed to be. And when you came from the tabernacle, you would smell with that fragrance. As you went out, you would smell different than the world. It was a fragrance that was different than anywhere else. And friend, when he reveals himself from the message of the hour, message believers have a peculiar fragrance of the Spirit. The anointing that's upon the message, we're not saying other people aren't anointed, but it's a different kind of an anointing. The anointing upon a message believer is peculiar to the message of the hour. Because in the tabernacle, that anointing oil that Aaron was anointed with from the crown of his head and it went right down to the borders of his garment, you only found that anointing oil where? The the pillar of fire was. Where the manna was. Where the prophet was. Where thus saith the Lord was. You wouldn't find that oil anywhere else. Except for among the Exodus people. It was only the Exodus people. It was the predestined priesthood. The elected priesthood. They were the only ones that were authorized to be anointed by the prophet with that particular anointing. And that's how you'll find message believers, they quickly can smell each other.
Yes.
You start fellowshipping with somebody from somewhere else, you'll find, this is a message believer. You may not even speak the same language. You may have to go through an interpreter. You may have to, however else that you communicate. But there's a peculiar something about a genuine message believer. There's something which is different. There's a certain fragrance. There's a certain type of an anointing. Remember the prophet says the anointing for preaching is different than the anointing for praying for the sick. No, this anointing comes in different ways to achieve different purposes. And there was the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. There's different anointings that were sent forth to anoint the church for certain conditions, to manifest certain things, to overcome certain circumstances. That's why the message of the hour, friends, it's the anointment that's been poured forth. It's that real ointment that we need to keep fresh inside of our experience, because the anointing oil in the tabernacle, it accompanied the Shekinah glory. It equipped the high priest. That anointing was to go right into the very innermost chamber, to the Holy of Holies, to go right there into the Shekinah presence of God. That particular kind of an anointing that was released through Moses, through the revelation that Moses gave. And then people took that revelation, made that oil with cassia and the different things, and it made a very, very particular anointing. You know, so this really is something about this. And in Psalm 133, when it says that Aaron was anointed, the Lord says in Psalm 133, verse 3, it says, it's as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Ah, friends, there's something about that anointing when it comes. The prophet says it's like getting out there in the dew. Maybe it says like you get out there, we read it on Friday, when there's the honeysuckle early in the morning, when the dew is just settling. There's a certain fragrance, yeah? There's a certain something that's in the atmosphere at that kind of a time. You'll find God at that time in a way that it's not easy during the rest of the day. Remember we saw it the other week, if you waited too long for the manna, because the manna came down with the dew. You read your Bible, it says the dew fell on the ground and the manna fell on the dew. The manna never went on the dirty ground. And you went and you gathered the manna. So if you waited too long in the day and you allowed the hot sun to come and bake the earth, you didn't have any manna. And that's how it is in your Christian experience, friends. You know, rising up early, seeking Him early, taking advantage of the coolness of things. It's like the dew that falls on Mount Hermon. You know, that anointing oil that came upon Aaron didn't just stay on him, the high priest, but it went down and ran down and covered the whole body. And that's what he wants it to be in every age. He anoints right from the head, but he wants that same anointing to come down and cover the whole body. And that's why you find the Shulamite in verse 12. She's anointed now. And you find Solomon now is attracted by the anointing that's upon her. It's a pleasing fragrance that's now on her. That's what you want to be as believers. And out testifying that when you get out like the brothers went out yesterday again on the streets, that there must be a specific fragrance of something. That those that are seeking for life, they'll be attracted by that fragrance. It's a fragrance of life. It's a fragrance of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. It's a peculiar fragrance and anointing. That's why you shut yourself with Him first before you get yourself out there. Because it's that presence, that anointing. That's why the prophet says everybody who has a ministry in the church needs to wait on their ministry. Let the musicians wait on their ministry. You don't come rushed from home and you're struggling getting out the car and oh no, people are already singing and you think there's going to be that fragrance saying no. There's got to be discipline. You've got to come early. You've got to come and prepare yourself. Get your instruments ready early. Make sure all is well. Get yourself before the Lord. Be meditating upon the music, meditating upon the scriptures. The prophet says, then when you come like that, when the anointing is upon you, he says, a minister, he says, you're going to hear from God. He says, but otherwise you don't, you come out of there and you're all confused. You don't know what it is that the Lord wants you to say. And it's the same in any ministration for the Lord. whether it's Sunday school teachers, whether it's the officers of the church, whatever. Friends, let's really try to discipline ourselves. Amen. To make sure that we can wait upon our ministries, wait upon our officers, so that when we come, there's a different fragrance that's about us. There's that fragrance of that freshness that comes. And then when somebody comes into that kind of a presence, like when that killer bull came to the prophet, it paralyzed the temper in the bull. You know, we need those kind of things, but when you don't have that fragrance, friends, when someone steps on your toes and somebody loses their temper at you, you lose your temper at them. Now, we really do need to spend time to get that same fragrance upon us. I'm sure that's your desire. So as he comes down through the Bible, he's revealing his name. And he reveals the name of Jehovah. So he comes now in the Exodus. And he comes down to Moses and he says in Exodus, he says, by my name Jehovah was I not known by your fathers.
Amen.
Now, if you read that, it sounds strange. But his name Jehovah was known by Abraham and them. But in a measure, they had a partial realization because Jehovah was his Exodus name.
Amen.
This was his name and his name of deliverance. So he was saying now to Moses, Moses, people have heard of me that my name is Jehovah, but they've never seen me as Jehovah. There's never been a full manifestation of Jehovah up to now. But now I'm going to visit and judge the gods of Egypt. And friends, I really like that. I found a thing where they showed the 10 plagues. And they show the names of the gods of Egypt. Because every one of those manifestations of those plagues, the first one when he turns the waters to blood, there was a very specific purpose why the Lord revealed and manifested that at that time. Yeah, because the Egyptians, their God, they had their God Osiris. Yeah, the Egyptians believed that the Nile was his bloodstream. That was their great God. And the Lord says, I'm going to judge the gods of Egypt. And you'll find every one of those plagues, God was judging. God was showing that the name of Jehovah is far greater than any of the gods of Egypt. They were trusting in their gods. They were trusting. In the second plague of the frogs, the Egyptians had two gods, Hapi and Hekt. They were the frog goddesses. They used to worship these gods. So here comes Moses now. God shows, I'm above all of these things. My name is greater than all of these things. And he continues on all the way and he comes down to the hail. Because they had their sky goddess. They used to worship a goddess of the skies. And this goddess was supposed to be the goddess of the atmosphere. So God comes and shows that the name Jehovah is far greater than any of these gods of Egypt. And friend, in the message of the hour in every age, God reveals in the message, in that manifestation, that he is greater than any of the gods of that age. It's like if you think, why is he going to sink Los Angeles? He's going to judge the gods of Egypt, friends. These things that people are worshipping, yeah, Hollywood and all these kind of things. He's going to show, he's going to judge the gods of Egypt. He's going to judge the God of silver and gold. That's why he's going to bring judgment on Wall Street. He's going to show these things that you worship, I am Jehovah. I'm going to bring judgment upon all of these things. And every one of those plagues, he was manifesting his supremacy over all of the multitudes of gods. One by one, he was demonstrating to the Egyptians that the name Jehovah was more powerful than anything in that age. And nothing could withstand the name of Jehovah. And if you wanted to overcome in that age, you had to know Jehovah. You had to know him in a real way. You had to take the blood yourself. You had to apply it upon the door and keep it fresh upon the door. If you wanted to overcome the judgments of that age. But the name of Jehovah was a mighty tower. It was a refuge in that kind of an age. And he was judging them by revealing to them that he was Jehovah.
Amen.
Ah, friend. Then you go through the Old Testament, he reveals himself in how many different ways? Jehovah Rapha. Now when they're in the wilderness and they needed healing and they were going through all the things they did, he says, I'll bring upon you none of the diseases of Egypt. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals your disease. That's a particular anointing. That's a particular manifestation. And when that manifestation, when he reveals that to you, it brings about a change in your circumstances. Yes. It brings about a change in your life. He ministers a deliverance to you at that time. He delivers you from something. Yes, yes, yes. He changes the circumstances. And just when the devil will think he's got you, like with Brother Scott at that time, and the devil will think, I'm going to shorten this man's life, the Lord comes down as Jehovah Rapha. And he says, I will execute judgment upon all of these gods. I will show them who that I am. I will show them my preeminence. I will show them my hand of deliverance. And friends, it's unlimited how far we can go in those things. As Jehovah Jireh, like we say to Abraham, he came and met his very present real need that he had. It was an urgent need. It was a pressing need. You know, he needed a fresh manifestation of Jehovah to minister into his situation there and then. And God came and showed, as Jehovah, my name is greater than your circumstances. My name is greater than your need. Just allow me to minister my name, to reveal my name to you, and see the way that your situation is going to change. In the Exodus, when he came in the ninth plague, you know, they had their god. They had Amon and all these different gods. They had their sun gods. And they had a moon god. So the Lord comes and brings darkness for 3 days. And these people are trusting in their sun god. He's going to deliver us. And it's okay, the sun's gone out, but we trust in the moon god. And now there's no sun or no moon for 3 days. Because he's showing that it's greater than all of the gods of Egypt. And to you young people, the anointing and the message of the hour is greater than any of these things of Egypt. All the attractive power of Egypt. When the devil tries to pull you into fashion and tries to pull you into fleshly relationships before you married, tries to pull you into lust, pornography, all of these kind of things. Friend, the revelation of who he is in this age is greater than all of the gods of Egypt. There's a supremacy in his name. And if you will accept that name as an experience, you take that name upon you, you will have dominion over all of these things as well. They won't be able to, none of them were able to stand. Friend, in the end, the Egyptians feared Moses. They feared Moses, and some of them left Egypt and went with him in the mixed multitude. That's how powerful that revelation of Jehovah was in the first Exodus in the message of the hour. It was a powerful thing, the name of Jehovah. At first, Pharaoh mocked the name of Jehovah. Who is this God? I don't know Jehovah. I'm the God. Because Pharaoh, imagine the 10th plague was what? The death of the firstborn. Because Pharaoh was God. My, and this is his son supposed to be the next Pharaoh. So God dies. Imagine you worship a God and he dies. Yeah, God came and judged the gods of Egypt. He judges, okay, you're going to be alive, Pharaoh, because I'm teaching you a lesson. But your son and all the firstborn, they're going to die. And he executed judgment upon all the gods of Egypt. And friends, be careful in this age. Because there's these plagues are being poured out. And he says, come out from among them. Be not partaker of their sins. Lest you yourself be partaker of their plagues. Because there's a Goshen. There's a place where his Shekinah presence is. Where he reveals himself. Where there's that particular fragrance of his name. That particular manifestation. Friend, that nothing can stand in his presence.
Amen.
Nothing can stand before a believer when you're walking in his name. Amen. When you're in his name, you're omnipotent against the enemy. He may put you before a Red Sea. He's going to make a way. He may get you to a place that he thinks he's trapped you. But it just takes the manifestation of his name. Just a manifestation of his name, and he's going to deliver you from that. That's why right through the Old Testament, excuse me, what is the thing the people were looking for? They were seeking to know his name. If only we can know your name. When Manoah, when the angel came down and says, your wife will bear a son, you'll be a Nazarite, and he'll start to deliver the children of Israel. What was the thing he asked for? What is your name? And he says, my name is, if you're going to take the real translation, my name is Wonderful. My name can't just be expressed in words. My name is an essence that you have to experience for yourself. My name is a present tense something that will meet the situation that you're in. That's what my name is. You can't just put my name as something written on a piece of paper. No, you can't put God in a box like that. No, his name is Wonderful. You know, the prophet says that about Isaiah chapter 9. It says, his name shall be, you know, you shall be the Son of God. You know, you shall be what? The Prince of Peace. You know, the everlasting Father prophecies, he just ran out of things to say. He just says, wonderful. He said, he's wonderful. Amen. Yeah. And if you continue on in the Song of Solomon, what does it say? He's altogether lovely. Amen. You know, I know when we were in Switzerland, Brother Biskal was saying that. He was saying, you know, when he was there and the prophet would say that, when that particular essence of that fragrance would come down, that lingering presence of his glory, the prophet would say, isn't he lovely? Isn't he lovely? And friends, only a believer can relate to that. If you don't know him, if you've never been in that presence, you'll wonder what the prophet's saying. But to a believer, you may not have been in the depth of what the prophet's speaking about, but you know that it's true because you know that that presence is lovely. You yourself know he's altogether lovely. That's what he's altogether. When you just take the sum of all that he is, his name, his essence, his character, what is he to a believer? The same as he was to the Shulamite, he's altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely. And now to those who are being baptized, you want that kind of a relationship with Jesus. Don't let your relationship be with the church. That's okay, but that's not the real thing. Your relationship's got to be with Jesus himself. You know, the Shulamite, it started off when she met Solomon. And he separated her from her old life and he brought her into the palace. And she was never the same again. Amen. It's got to be that kind of a love affair, that kind of a beginning that you have in the beginning when he kisses you with the kisses of his mouth. And you know for yourself that his love is more excellent than wine. You know, there's something about this. You just want to be in his presence. You just want to be in his word. Because this is how he reveals his name. You just want to be in the message of the hour. Because there's that fragrance of his name. There's that particular anointing that comes forth. Now, the name of Jehovah and that manifestation is what distinguished Israel from the rest of the nations. Amen. Brother Max read it on Wednesday. What made a difference when Israel and the rest of the nations was the presence of God in their midst. Was that particular fragrance of Jehovah. Amen. That made a difference. You know, the Queen of Sheba could come from Sheba. She would come now to Solomon. She'd say, we don't have this. We have our gods. We have different things that take place. But there's something different here. There's a difference in your wisdom. There's a difference in your administration. There's a difference in your worship. There's a difference in your priesthood. We don't find these things where I came from. Ah, friend, that's the greatest drawing power that there is the revelation of his name, is the manifestation of his name. Because that is being salty. It's going to make other people thirsty. Amen. That is being light, is by manifesting his name. And that's why to Israel, that was the thing. Because the Lord says that they were called by his name. Now, he betrothed himself to them at Mount Sinai. He became their husband. Yeah, they had took his name upon them. And for that was the distinguishing factor. And if they could have caught that revelation and walked in that, it would have been a powerful thing until he came in Christ. The prophet says they wanted humanized leadership. Yeah, they wanted a man to lead them. The prophet says if they could have just been more patient, God was going to come as a man to lead them. But they got too impatient. They lost the essence of it. They lost that first love that they once had. And when the Lord comes in the prophets and cries out to them in Jeremiah, I remember the love of thine espousals. I remember the love of your youth. When you went through the wilderness, when you were a field that wasn't yet sown and all those things. You see, I would cry out to the prophets to say, return back to the relationship you had with me in the beginning. Other things have come in the middle now. Amen. Now you started to, you know, try to spread your love out to others. No, come back to me. Amen. Yes, come back to me. And that's what Solomon says when he dedicated the temple. Such a great promise. If thy people, the Lord said, if my people that are called by my name. Yeah. My people are called by my name. If they gather themselves together. Yeah. If there's famine, if there's war, if there's pestilence, whatever that it is, God has given us such a promise, saints, that if we gather ourselves together in his name. That's what he says. He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. What what a promise. But Israel was the only nation called by his name. Yeah. And friends, the bride is the only one called by his name. We are called by his name. And we're going to have two people going to take on his name through baptism. They're going to be baptized in his name. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this great unfolding of Jehovah, the seven redemptive names of Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Jehovah Ra, he's our shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, he's our peace. All those of Jehovah, what's the one, our banner? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is with us. And Jehovah, whatever, our banner. Then we come to the end of the Old Testament. Now the most amazing thing about it is that through all of that revelation of Jehovah, all of that revelation of his seven redemptive names, nobody is yet saved. Not a single person's gone into his presence in glory. Every single person who's died has gone to paradise. Every single person. They've been delivered from Egypt. He's ministered to the needs. He's provided for them. He's done so many things for them. But none of them, and that is typed by the tabernacle, even as he's revealing himself to them as Jehovah, none of them can go into the Shekinah glory. None of them can yet come back to the tree of life, which is dwelling above the mercy seat. Only the high priest one day a year can go into the presence of eternal life. My, that's a serious thing to think about. So he manifests his name as Jehovah. It's his name of deliverance. It was his name of provision. But friend, there had to come another name. Because there's only one name under heaven whereby men might be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. Oh, friends, and that's how when Jesus was born, that says in Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Friends, we can be delivered from sickness, but not yet from our sins. He can manifest himself and heal you, but you don't know who he is. The person of eternal life. The rich young ruler stood in the presence of the person of eternal life. Here was the tree of life once again, had been planted once again. Here he was. But he wasn't willing to take upon him his name. He wasn't willing to lay it all aside and to come and humble himself, lay himself on the altar and take on the name of Jesus. He didn't want to do that. And that's why, friends, salvation from sin. God provided a sacrifice which covered sin before that. But it never took away sin, the prophet says. It covered sin. It was God's grace right from Eden to cover their sin. When they would die, the righteous, they would go into paradise. Yeah? But it needed the blood. Amen. It needed the blood of Christ. Amen. To take away sin. Amen. Nothing else could take away sin. Not a single Jew under the old covenant, apart from the high priest, could go within the veil. Not a single Jew. But my friend, you can get on your knees today. Amen. And you can come boldly unto the mercy seat. Amen. You can come and find grace to help in time to need. Your time of need. And what makes a difference? The name of Jesus. Because Jehovah now, he brought all those redemptive names. He took all of his past revelation and he brought it, and like we said last week, he distilled it into one name. The name of Jesus. All that he was. Yeah? All that God was, he poured into Christ. So friends, he's not El Shaddai anymore, really. He's Jesus. In Jesus is El Shaddai. He is the strength giver. No, he's not really any of those old names anymore. You know, all those names have been summed up into perfection, which is the name of Jesus. He still has the attributes of Jehovah Jireh. You're Jehovah Rapha, but there's no salvation in the name of Jehovah Jireh. There's no salvation in the name of Jehovah Rapha. There's no salvation in the name of Jehovah Ra. None of those names have salvation. There's only one name given among men whereby we might be saved. That's the name of Jesus. That's why Satan hates that name. That's why he orders wages war against the name. He brings up false religion. What do? They bring the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What is that? It's war by substitution. There's no salvation in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No person's ever been saved in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The only salvation is in the name of Jesus. That's what it is. You can't be saved in those titles. Yeah, you have to believe in Jesus. There are people who are baptized in ignorance, yes. In ages gone by, God winked at the ignorance in their baptism. But friend, you cannot be saved through titles. You can't be. So when people are coming to the waters of baptism to use titles, can you not see the folly of it all? Can you not see that there's nothing that you're doing when you go and baptize someone in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? There's nothing redemptive in that. Because redemption is only summed up in one name. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why you'll find, if you go right through the Old Testament, there was very little manifestation of demonic activity. Yeah? There's just some of it, yeah? The witch of Endor and different things. But as soon as the name Jesus, here's a man bearing the name Jesus, wherever he goes, the demons are crying out. My friends, there's something about this name. This name of Jesus is powerful, friends. This name of Jesus is the name above all names, the Bible says. It's above every other name. All of God's previous names, it says this name of Jesus is above every name. Every single name. This is the supreme name. There's no name higher than this name. The Bible says he's been given a name higher than all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Ah, friends, this name. That's why it's a sweet thing, this name. You know, I read a true story of somebody who, it was a long time ago, and they went to the bed of this old saint who was dying. And he had got dementia, whatever it was, and he had lost his mind. He couldn't recognize his wife. The pastor came to see him, he couldn't recognize the pastor. And the pastor said to him, "My brother so-and-so, do you remember me?" The man just kept quiet. Then he says, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, I know him well. There's something about that name. Because it's something in the soul. It's something that happens in the soul of a believer. Satan may come and try to confuse you in your mind. But the Bible says, my soul knows very well. He has everything under control. My soul knows it very well. Because your soul knows Jesus. It's met him. He's dwelling in there. You've got a unity. There's an invisible union. It's your soul that's united together with his name. You've taken his name upon you. That's how the prophet says, the real evidence of the Holy Ghost. He says, how can somebody say they've received the genuine Holy Ghost and deny one word? How can you deny his word, which is the manifestation of his name? The prophet says his word and his name go together. Friends, your soul, although you might not yet have seen certain promises manifest, but your soul knows they're true. Even if you're trying to be healed and it seems healing has taken a long time, and the devil comes to you and says, God is not a healer, your soul will still say, he's a healer. I know he's a healer. I don't care about my circumstances, but I know he's a healer. I know he's a healer. He might come and say, you don't have peace at this time. God doesn't give peace anymore. You will say, I know Jehovah Shalom. And if he was Jehovah Shalom of the old, Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. He's just changed his mask. It's just a greater manifestation of what he was in the Old Testament. That was a partial revelation of who he was. A partial realization, the prophet says. We have the perfect realization. Imagine the potential that we have today here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My! In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about that name. Something about it. Because the name Jesus, it doesn't just bring redemption, deliverance from Egypt. It brings the redemption of your soul. It saves you from your sin. That's how when Jesus came, he says, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. They were saying, we had Moses. Moses brought us out of Egypt. Yeah? We know man's slave. And Jesus was saying to them, he said, this is a new dispensation now. Now Jehovah's revealed himself now in the fullness of his name, which is Jesus. You know, so if you're trusting in just those names that delivered you from Egypt, in those manifestations, that revelation of his name in the Old Testament, he never redeemed their souls from sin. And that's why Jesus was saying, you can trust in deliverance from Egypt, that's not enough. Many were delivered from Egypt and then perished. Yeah? They died, the prophet said. Their souls were eternally separated from God. Now they tasted of that manifestation of Jehovah. But when you taste of Jesus, yeah, when you get a oneness and a unity with Jesus in your soul, Jesus comes to bring redemption to your soul.
Amen.
He comes to deliver you from sin.
Yes.
That's the greatest bondage that there is. Amen. It's the bondage of sin.
Amen.
And that's that God had to come and bring all those names and come down as a man.
Amen.
And be born of the virgin. And saying his name shall be called Jesus. Because he will deliver his people from sin.
Amen.
Oh, friend, that's wonderful.
Amen.
And what is the message of the hour? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's of you being overcome by the sins of this age. The problem is, you're not uniting yourself with the message of the hour. Because he reveals himself in the message of it. It's the children's bread for this age. It's the overcoming power. When all the rest of the people are perishing in the famine, where his name was in the Old Testament, in the days of Elijah, there was a widow woman.
Amen.
Yeah, and she was overcoming the conditions that they plenty find.
Amen.
She wasn't worrying about the drought and the hunger and all these things taking place, because there was a manifestation of his name in her midst, which came through the anointing of Elijah on the prophet. And God sent him there with the thus saith the Lord. And in thus saith the Lord was everything that was required to meet the conditions of that day. When the plagues were falling all around, judgment upon Israel, it never came upon her. Judgment upon the whole region. That just shows the power of his name. All you've got to do is just take his name upon you. And those people being baptized today, you're taking on the name of Jesus. But you don't want to stop there. You're wanting it to become a union.
Amen.
Like the Shulamite, like we say, when she caught the revelation of his name in verse 3. Verse 4, now she goes into his inner chamber.
Amen.
She goes into the bedroom. The prophet says you live in a three-chambered house. Yeah? You have a three-chambered house. You can be in the kitchen. Yeah? You can be in the living room. But it's the bedroom. That's the place of intimacy.
Amen.
That's within the veil. No, so you start off on the way. It's good to eat with him. It's good to sit into fellowship. But friend, the bride, she wants intimacy. She wants to go into that place like the Shulamite. To say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his lips. Because his love is better than wine. And don't ever let us lose that, friends. When you start losing that first love, we need to come back and seek it once again. When it becomes laws and creeds and doctrines. And when our children grow up and we just tell them to do certain things and they obey without an understanding, you don't want to stay like that all the days of their life. You want them to meet him. You know. And then when they get themselves in that peculiar fragrance of his presence, they themselves will want to do the things. Because they'll understand this pleases him. Because they'll have the same fragrance in him that was on them. That's why let's come to a close as we come to baptism. When the prophet went in message of grace and he was out there that day, yeah, maybe the devil was trying to tell him a lot of things about his message. Yeah, trying to say this, that, and the other. And then he went out that day feeling strangely drawn. And then he saw those three rainbows. He saw that covenant coming into that bowl. And he says, and I watched as the three, one to the right, one to the left, one in the center, was running down into one bowl. So those three were running down into one. And I turned and I looked and I screamed out, oh God, what would you have your servant know? And the Spirit of the Lord came in and said, Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. He only changed his mask from spirit to man. That was confirming, of course, my message of him. Letting me know assuredly these 31 years hadn't been in vain. Because friend, you don't want to run in vain. You don't want to be trying to serve God in his previous manifestation. Paul was trying to serve the Jehovah of the old, not knowing that the Jehovah of the old was now Jesus of the new. He was persecuting the very one he is claiming to serve because he failed to discern that things had changed. There was a change of dispensation. That's what denominational people are doing as well. They're trying to serve him under the previous anointing of the previous age, not realizing that his fragrance has changed, that his presence, his manifestation has moved on into something else. And if you want to serve him acceptably, you've got to find him in your age.
Amen.
You've got to find him in the present tense manifestation of who he is. Otherwise, how will you know who you are? How will you know what he wants done? You've got to know who he is. You've got to know your day and your message. Otherwise, how will you ever find your position in the body of Christ? If you still think it's the missionary age, that you all need to leave and go to China, go to India and all that. That was the harvest age. That was the tassel, the prophecies. But it's moved on into the next age. It's moved on up higher. And the life as it goes through the wheat, it leaves the previous part and moves into the next. So it leaves the shuck and it goes into the seed itself, into the corn itself. And then if you're trying to serve him in that previous manifestation, friends, you've missed the boat. You really have. And Paul, imagine, he was persecuting the church. He was so zealous, trying to serve Jehovah of the old. And Jesus had to come and update him on the road to Damascus and show him no. And he says, who are you? The pillar of fire says, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. That Jehovah of the old was Jesus of the new. Then he had to take that name upon him. Paul, he went and was baptized in his name. And then his name was changed from Saul to Paul, and it set him on that path, and he went and he fulfilled his calling. He went and fulfilled his purpose and his adoption. But friends, we need that manifestation. That's why in Philippians 2 it says, we quoted this now, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses are not really Jehovah's Witnesses. Because you don't need to be Jehovah's Witness, you need to be Jesus' Witness. Because that's his name now. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jehovah of the old. They're trying to serve the God of the Old Testament by saying we're Jehovah's Witnesses. No. That's a sincerity, but you're sincerely wrong. We want to be Jesus' Witnesses. The Jesus of today. And friend, now you'll understand if you look at this, why Satan fights that name. When you find these false moves that come up in the message, Philip telling people to be baptized in his name. You know what you're doing? There's only salvation in the name of Jesus. When you're taking people out of the name of Jesus into your name, you're taking them out of salvation. Oh, friends, it's a serious thing to do. When you find they say, Edgar Hill Roscoe, that's the name. That's not the name. That's the name of a man. There's only one name. It's the name above every other name. There's salvation in no other name. So if you want to identify yourself in some other name, be careful. You're not identifying yourself in salvation. Because salvation is only his name. And that's why Satan fights against it. Right through the dark ages, what does he do? He takes away the name of Jesus. He brings the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He brings in Trinitarianism. Yeah? And with that, he brings a false baptism. No one in the Bible has ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Every single person took on his name. Because the Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's redemption, salvation in no other name. But we were all baptized, me, the denomination, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We thought we had done something special. We thought it was really a good thing that we're done. But friend, when God looked down, he says, you're never going to bring forth the real manifestation of what I called you like that. Amen. You know, that's okay in its measure. That's a partial realization of a full spiritual truth. But each and every one of us had to come and catch the revelation. Amen. Yeah, that he's one, he's not three. Amen. He's one, that the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ.
Amen.
Like they said, never once in the Bible says Jesus is in the Trinity. It says the Godhead is in Jesus. It's a difference. Satan tries to water it down, the revelation. The prophet says, that's why at the end, there's got to be the open door. It's the revelation of his name has to come back. And with the restoration of that revelation, he says, then the church can start building in power once again. Because there's only power in that name. There's power, friend, to overcome in no other name. no other name. And that's how we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can pray sometimes, as I pray, you can pray in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's fine, but that's not his name. You know, that's not his name. His name is Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. All of his names come down together into one name. And that's the name above all names. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 4 verse 12, the disciples said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why I renounce any other name. That's why when the people came wanting to baptize in the prophet's name, the prophet almost wanted to leave the ministry. He says that's an antichrist spirit. He saw the vision of a black and yellow serpent. And he was going to kill it, and somebody distracted his attention and it snuck into a little pool of water. It was a spirit that got among the people. And the prophet never crushed that thing at that time. And that thing manifests itself now. And the very thing the message came to build up, to restore. Because the seals comes to reveal Christ. That's what it is. The very thing the message comes to restore, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in its majesty, in its manifestation, people in the message baptize people in another name. Oh, friend, it doesn't make sense. That's why you can see it's a spirit. It's a real spirit that gets in to fight against that name. Because, friends, there's power in no other name. There's only one name. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So the whole family, the whole church, the bride is named what? The Lord Jesus Christ. We take on his name. This is the name of redemption. There's no other name, friends. This is the name above all names. This is a name we should esteem. This is a name we should reverence. This is the name which we bow our knees to, and we take that name upon ourselves. This is the name we unite together. This is the name that redeems our souls from sin and bondage. Amen. This is the name that gives us power in this age. Because this is what the message came to reveal. Amen. You know, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. To reveal who he is, then to reveal who we are. Then Christ and the bride go back to Eden. That's what it came for. That's the revelation of what this message came for. But if you take the Christian world, how many people are baptized in his name? Less than 1%, I'm sure. Is it not incredible how effective the devil's been to take away the name of Jesus? Don't let him do it to you. Don't let it become a formality. You want the essence of his name. You want that reality in your experience. You want that to be feeding on that and to be fellowshipping around that on a daily basis. You want it fresh in your experience. Because that's the thing that gives you what you're supposed to be. In John chapter 20, it says that believing, you might have life through his name. That's how we find life, through his name. And that's how we're going to come and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever situation you have in your life, friend, every knee bows to the name of Jesus. Every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The devil has to bow to that name. Sickness has to bow to that name. No matter what comes up inside of your life, you just get yourself in that name. And everything has to bow down. Because this is the name above all names. And that's how when Jesus would come, they would fall down, those demons, and say, we know who you are, Jesus, thou Son of God. Now, don't send us out into the deep. Allow us to enter into the swine. They would come and beg him and pray. What about in the prophets' meetings? The demons would cry out. Why? Because there was the manifestation of his name. There was his fragrance, his essence. Who he was there present. And friends, that's what you want in our experience. And that's what you're praying for them that will be baptized today. That the Lord will give them that in their experience. They'll taste of his name. They'll taste and see for themselves that the Lord is good. That something will take place that will leave a fragrance, that will bring a precious memory that will linger for the rest of the days of their life. That when they think back to their baptism, something will move inside of their souls and say, oh, he revealed himself to me at that time. That was a precious time. And friend, let the things of the past stir us up to expect and desire greater things in the future. To expect a greater manifestation. Now we come to the water baptism. Mark 16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Hallelujah.
So baptism in his name is a very important part of salvation. He who believes and is baptized. I heard somebody speaking of it the other day saying, people always say, what about the thief on the cross? The thief on the cross, if he had had an opportunity to, he would have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. But he wasn't in that dispensation. The thief on the cross died and went to paradise. He was under that. It was Christ who was only shedding his blood then. But friend, when you know, when he speaks to your soul, when he comes like Solomon to the Shulamite, and he persuades you and he draws you on, and then you refrain and you push him back, and you won't walk in obedience to his word, be careful. Because you can't put yourself in the situation as a thief on the cross. Now, when he's wanted to take you deeper, the prophet says that's where the denominations went wrong. He wanted to go into a deeper love affair with them. But they didn't want to go any deeper. And that's when he put them away. Oh, friend, let it not be like that in our experience. No matter how far you've gone, no matter what you've experienced, each and every one of us know there's far more.
Amen.
There's far greater. There's sweet things that he wants to reveal unto our souls. And let's keep pushing on. When the baptism to the Samaritans, when they came and they called for the disciples to come down to Samaria, when Philip preached to them, it says the Holy Ghost was not yet fallen upon them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our friends, there's something about that name. Being baptized in that name. If your heart is right and you're baptized in that name, his name will come upon you. His name will come upon you. The prophet says God is obligated that if you have thoroughly confessed your sins, thoroughly repented, he says God is obligated when you go into those waters of baptism to give you the Holy Ghost there and then. Because that's his desire. That's his word. Because you're taking on his name. So he wants to bring his name into you. And that's how Paul, when he finished off in Acts 19, when he meets people that have been baptized, but they never took on his name. They never received his name. They never received the Holy Ghost. And Paul came to them in Ephesus and says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Ghost. He says, how were you baptized? They said, we are baptized by John who baptized Jesus. He said, that's another dispensation. Now there's his name. Now his name is above all other names. You need to be baptized in his name. And it says, when they now went and were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Ghost came upon them. Ah, friends, God is so faithful. And God is so true and he wants us to have that. And that's how when Paul himself meets Christ, the voice said to him, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. So don't just be baptized in his name, in the name of the Lord, but call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, when he went to be baptized at Jordan, it says he was praying. As he was baptized, when he was praying, the dove came down upon him. You want to be prayerful? You want to call upon the name of the Lord? Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whoso calleth upon the name of the Lord, upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Ah, that's his name of salvation, friends. Doesn't matter what sin you've done, doesn't matter what you've been involved in. If you call upon the name of Jesus, that's the name of salvation. He was manifest to deliver you from your sin, from the guilt of your sin and from the power of sin inside of your life. That's the power of this name. So let's really appreciate his name. And that's why in the last age now, there's a restoration. I will restore all that the palmer worm ate. All that the caterpillar ate. All that has been eaten away on this bright tree. Friends, imagine the potential that's there for us today. In the message of the hour. This message that reveals his name to us. This message that unveils who he is in this age. Our friends, John just needs to take that book and he just needs to eat that book.
Amen.
That's all that he's got to do. Then he can prophesy. He's going to be what he should be. He's going to live the way that he should live. Search yourself, my friend, and ask yourself, what is my relation with this name, even today? Is this something which I used to have the essence of, that used to be personal to me, but I've lost it? I used to have this first love. I used to be like that Shulamite. But it's not what it used to be. Don't let it stay like that, my friend. There's too much deception in this age. There's too much temptation in this age. The prophet says the powers of the devil have heaped up in this age. You know, you don't want to be walking like that. But let's come back to his name. Let's come back to the very place that he has chosen to place his name. And we come and we fellowship there. And we live there. And we bathe ourselves in his presence there. And then we come from there, from feeding upon the finest of the wheat, from feeding upon the eagle's food, the hidden manna that was right in the presence of his name, the showbread, which was the bread of his face right before his presence. We eat of those things. And I guarantee you, my friend, like we said last Sunday, if you come for service regularly for a month with the right attitude, it's the same as if you get in the Word again and pray regularly like you used to do. I guarantee it won't take you long. Something will start to stir and something will start to manifest itself in your experience the way that it used to in the days of your youth. Let's come back to him, friends, as we come to the baptism. And to those who have never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes if Jesus came now. Yeah? To those people that know better, that you know there's no other name, that you know you're supposed to be baptized in his name, that came from the words of Jesus himself. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And you keep pushing it off. Remember the quote that Brother Lubanza sent the other day, and I sent it around to the saints. You know that if God is stirring something up inside of you, if God is working, yeah, and you won't respond to it, you won't act upon it, the devil will come and take it away from you. Don't let it be like that. But while he's dealing fresh with you, while he's dealing with your soul, while he's trying to draw you closer, draw you deeper, just yield yourself and respond. Give yourself over to him. Follow in obedience. If it's obedience to repentance, repent. It's obedience to water baptism, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're seeking then to go deeper into the holy place, come and pray when the saints are praying. Shut yourself in with the Lord. Seek his face until that name becomes real to you. That name becomes the most precious name. That fragrance is poured out like an ointment upon you. And you have that same fragrance inside of your soul, which is in the message of the hour, which rests and hovers above his word. I'm sure that's your desire. Let's stand, saints. Let's really consider this name, which is above all names. Let's bow our heads today before we do anything else. And I'd really put it to you, my friend, is there anybody here that you haven't been saved from your sin? The Bible says you shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sin. And there's somebody here and you haven't been saved, delivered, redeemed of your sin. You've never been washed of your sin. And inside of yourself, you know that at this time the Lord is dealing with you. And it's time for you to respond like the Shulamite responded in this great relationship with him. And you want to raise your hand to him today and say, Jesus, I raise my hand. It's a token that I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to seek thee, Lord. I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to follow you. May the Lord bless you for that. To those who have never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet you know that it's in the Word. What does hinder you? Like Paul said, arise and be washed of your sins as you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you delaying? Why are you doing that? Don't you want to go on with Christ inside of your life? Don't you want him to be real to you? Don't you want him to take him the next stage in the journey? If that's your situation, I would ask of you as we pray, you speak to him about it. And if he speaks to your soul and there's a deep inside of you and he ministers to that deep from the deep that's inside of him, my friend, I would respond immediately. I would not even let the sun set today before trying to set things in order that I might submit myself and fulfill all righteousness and yield myself to his grace to be able to take on his name in baptism so that he can continue to lead me on. If that's your desire, I really would encourage you to pray about it, to seek his face as he speaks to you.
And friend, whoever you are as a believer, let's just come a little bit before the Lord in prayer. And let's call upon His name. If there's something you're failing to overcome, there's a reason for it. He wants to reveal His name. He wants to draw you closer. Maybe you're not eating the right food, spiritually speaking. Maybe you're not just getting yourself to the certain place that He so desires you to be so He can manifest Himself to you. Why not speak to Him about it? And whatever He says to you, do it as we go from this place. Whatever your desire, let's call upon the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bring all before Thee upon this day to thank You for that name that is above all names, Lord. And Father, we just want to hide ourselves in that name. We know the name of the Lord is a mighty fortress. It's a high tower. And Father, we just want to run therein and be safe. Father, we thank You that You are Jehovah Jireh. You provide. Father, Lord, Jehovah Shalom, that You give peace. We thank You, Lord, that You are Jehovah Sidkenu. You are our righteousness. But Father, we thank You, Lord, for this great revelation. That Father, Lord, You have redeemed us of our sin. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for the two people being baptized this day. We pray Your special blessing upon them. Father, You've redeemed them from their sin. Now we pray, Lord, that You would take them deeper and take them further. Even according, Lord, to the sure promises of Your word. Oh, how faithful You are to Your word that You said if we repent. And Lord, we take on Your precious name in baptism. You said You would fill us with Your name. Father, with the Holy Ghost, I pray for Your blessing upon our sister, upon our little brothers who's baptized as well. We pray that You would be with us, Lord. Father, even them that raise their hands upon this day, praying for them that You take them deeper, Lord. Help each and every one of us the same. We look unto Thee, Lord. Father, bless Your people. Bless this baptism. We commit it to You now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Since it's just come to a little bit of worship, as we ask the two people being baptized to go and prepare themselves, let's come to worship. The Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in His name. Let's sing in His name for His glory.
Excellent is Thy name, O Lord. How excellent is Thy name, O Lord. How excellent is Thy name. 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 Excellent is Thy name. How excellent is Thy name. Ooh. How marvelous is Thy name. Marvelous is Thy name. Ooh. How marvelous is Thy name. Marvelous is Thy name. Ooh. How marvelous is Thy name. How marvelous is Thy name. How marvelous. marvelous is thy name.
How wonderful is your name.
How wonderful is thy 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 name.
Oh, oh, oh.
How wonderful is thy name.
How wonderful is thy name.
How wonderful is thy name.
Ooh, how beautiful is thy name.
How beautiful is thy name.
Ooh, how beautiful is thy name.
How beautiful is thy name.
Ooh, how beautiful is thy name.
Is thy name.
How beautiful is thy name.
How beautiful is thy name.
Oh, oh, Lord.
How beautiful is thy name.
How beautiful is thy name.
How beautiful is thy name.
How excellent is thy name.
How excellent is thy name.
Let's do the sister first. It's always girls first. So we're so happy today to baptize our sister Daniela. She's got a real wonderful testimony. If you speak to her, she was there. She never could be satisfied with the Trinity. She could never ever understand that. She would go and ask questions and that, because she believed that God is one.
Amen.
So because of that, something that God put inside of her, the Lord led her by His grace to meet Him as the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she wants to take on His name. She's been baptized before in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But now she wants to be baptized in scriptural baptism. And we pray the Lord's special blessing upon her, and that He'd restore all things inside of her life and lead her on from this time forth. So sister, if you want us to stand, want to just stand there for a second and then turn around, sister, if you could, yeah. Turn around, and then if you sit, thanks, and put your legs forward. Thanks. I think it might be quite cool. Sister, this is a public acknowledgement of Jesus as your Lord. You trust only in Him, don't you? You've accepted Him as your all in all. You trust in none other. Yes? Amen. So because of your profession of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in His name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your daughter. I thank you, Lord, for her obedience to the leadership of your Spirit. I'm praying, Lord, for a special blessing upon her at this time. Oh, Lord, you know what she's been through, Lord. You know her life. You know all things, Lord. I just bring her before thee, Lord, even at this time and upon this day. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll fill her with your glory.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, that you'll open up the way inside of her life, Lord, now to the next stage of her life. Surely your thoughts towards her are good. Surely, Lord, your plans and purposes, Lord, are precious before her.
Amen.
I just pray, Lord, that, Father, you'll just be a shining light unto her that'll be grow brighter and brighter until that perfect day. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll fight her battles. I pray that you'll bless her daughter. I pray that you'll bless her daughter in the same way. I pray, Lord, that you'll help her, Lord, in every circumstance and every situation. Help her to be settled, Lord. Provide her every need. Fight for every battle, Lord. Let your precious name, Father, Lord, rule inside of her life and take dominion over all else.
that Father would come upon her or against her, Lord. Bless her, I pray. Fill her, Lord. Father, with the very essence of the name of Jesus, with the Holy Ghost, we pray. Let, Lord, your sweetness dwell inside of her soul. Continue to feed her on the finest of your word. Amen. Continue to lead her and guide her. May she be blessed and be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, sister. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Can I come with? Just while you're standing, Daniel, you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior. Yes. You trust in nobody else. Yes. You wanted to be baptized in His name.
Amen.
So that you will follow Him all the days of your life. Yes. As He gives you grace and as He gives you power. Amen. Sit and you're baptized. Because of your confession of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in His name. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for my boy. I thank you, Lord, that he has a heart that loves you, Lord, and he's heard your voice. He's responded to your call, Father, how he received you that night and he called upon your name and you changed him, Lord, and he loves your word, Father.
Hallelujah.
He loves your people. He loves to pray. And now, Lord, even as he's come, the next step, Lord, I ask of you that you'd fill him, Lord. Fill him with your spirit. Fill him with your glory, Lord. May he be a sanctuary. May he be a tabernacle of the Most High. May, Lord, this be the start of the next stage, Lord. And Father, that you would just open up the way for him, Lord. Father, create a deeper hunger in his soul for you. Let him never be satisfied apart from with your presence. Apart from with fellowship and communion with you. Father, let the revelation open up inside of his life, Lord. Father, in your word and Father, in fellowship and all that he says and all that he does, may he be a blessing. Lord, may you help him to be a blessing to his siblings, Lord, I pray. Father, Lord, to the young people in this church, Lord, lead him and guide him, Lord. Let him be an example, Lord.
Amen.
Let him be, Lord, Father, somebody is in your hands.
Hallelujah.
Bless him with your richest blessings, Lord. Deliver him from the evils of this age.
Amen.
Keep him from the temptations of this age, Lord. Father, let him just be somebody whose life, Lord, is hidden in you. I pray your special blessing upon him upon this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the judgment. Oh, happy day. Tis my joy on thee, my Savior and my Lord. I'll let this growing heart rejoice and tell its father's own a happy day. Happy day. Happy day. Happy day, happy day, happy day, when Jesus was my sin away. Happy born, is my way on to me, so my heart will fill his eyes. Sacred shine. Happy day. Happy day. What he was, oh, he turned me out to watch and pray and rejoice. Every day, happy day, happy day, when Jesus was my sin away. Stand the great transactions done. I am my Lord.
sin away. These are the days of Elijah, the dry bones. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Oh, and these are days of the trial, of famine and darkness and sorrow. So we hear the voice in the desert cry, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like a sun. Let the trumpet call, be the jubilee, out of Zion's hill sounded. Oh, behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like a sun. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the tribals will come in as fresh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, of fields as white as the world. And we are the laborers, bringing bread, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like a sun. Lift your voice, ye of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill sound. Oh, behold, he comes, oh, riding on the cloud, at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, salvation. Oh, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God, there is no. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. He only comes, riding on the clouds, shining like a sun. Lift your voice, out of Zion's hill sound. Oh, he only comes, only comes. Trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of Jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes.
Yeah. It's one of them, I'm so glad that I could say one of them.
One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm. There's everyone whose hearts are aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost. Oh, that is boiling up.
so glad that I can say I'm one of them. These people may not learn it, or boast of anything. They are glory, see the petticoat. Oh, they're not telling now, but far and wide. Will they say, I'm so glad that I can say I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm glad, I'm so glad that I can say I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper, they were praying in His name. They were baptized when Paul's service came. What He did, He will do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I am glad, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing. Cleanse your heart from sin. That burst on the joy bells ringing on will. Oh, it is burning now within my heart. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I am glad, I'm so glad that I can say one of them, one of them. I'm so glad, I'm so glad that I can say I'm so glad I can say I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Let's sing one more prayer, George, if you've got one there, prayer. Let's sing that song, Mercy Rewrote My Life. Aren't you so glad if you can think back to when you were baptized? Imagine what was happening inside of your heart at that time. How the Lord was drawing you to Himself. It's a precious time, and may the Lord take people on.
Mercy rewrote my hero. Mercy rewrote my life. I could have fallen my soul. But mercy, rewrote. Mercy, 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 mercy. He rewrote my life. Mercy, rewrote my life. I could have fallen. So past now, but mercy rewrote. Oh, mercy.
Jesus has changed my whole life. Should anybody ask, oh, just who I am? Tell them I am. Oh, one more time I believe. I am redeemed. And I'm born for the prize. Jesus has changed my whole life. Should anybody ask, oh, just who I am? Tell them I am redeemed.
This is one we haven't sung for a while. It's real sweet words. I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Maybe you've wandered far away from God. Let it be the time that you're coming home. Maybe the paths of sin too long you've trod. Just say, Lord, I'm coming home. And He'll respond the way that He did in the parable. He'll meet you where you are. Is that not your desire? We ask Brother Max to come close for us a word of prayer after the song. Please, just one announcement. Sorry, saints, before we sing the song. The trustees are just asking, please, to watch over your parents, your children after service, to keep things tidy. Especially upstairs. If I could just say it like this, let's just make a rule. Please don't allow your children to take food upstairs. You know, we so appreciate what the Brother Mike's doing for us outside and Sister Gloria. But the people upstairs who work there, they're complaining because after everything's been tidied up, it seems the children are going up and messing things up, and especially with food. You know, so we just say, please watch your children. Don't let them mess up. And maybe the best way, please make sure no food goes up those stairs. Rather just eat the food downstairs. And let's respect the other people and the premises, because there's been several complaints recently about a mess up there. So please, watch your children, tidy up after your children, and I'm sure the Lord will bless you for that. Amen. Let's sing that song. And Brother Max, too close for us. And keep Sister Lily in prayer when you pray, please. Praise. She's had to go to work. She was asking for prayer.
I wandered far away from home. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin to know my soul. Lord, I'm coming, coming home. Coming, coming home, coming home. I'm coming home.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We came here this morning, Lord, and we've read from your letter of love, Lord. And you have spoken love to our hearts, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you. The Lord, you have revealed unto us, and even you have shown us, Lord, the mystery of your will, O God, that, Lord Jesus, you will gather your bride from the north to the south, east, and west, and bring them together in your name, the name Amen. Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that even when we came in here, Lord, from our Sunday schools, it's in your name. All our worship had been in your name. The word had been in your name. And even the baptism had been in your name. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this name, Lord. And even, Father, we want to remember our sister Daniela and our son Daniel, O God. Oh, this day, the Lord Jesus, they have made an open, Lord, testimony that, Lord, they love you, God. Father, I want to commit Daniel into your hands. The Lord Jesus, this day, he has been buried with you. And Father, we are asking that the quickening power, Lord, will quicken him, Lord Jesus. The Lord, he will rise up in the same resurrection like you, God. Father, the tender heart that he has, but Lord, you in him, O God, nothing can stand against him. Lord Jesus, we commit into your hands and commit the parents, Lord, into your hands. The Lord, you grant them the wisdom, the leadership, O Lord, to continue, O Lord Jesus, oh, to lead them, O God, onto the path of righteousness, Lord. Even as it has already been prayed, Lord, we come against every evil and ills of this world in his life. Father, let the pillar of fire protect him wherever he goes. And let it stand for him against, Lord, the vials of this world, Lord. Amen. And Father, for our sister Daniela, O Lord, oh, it reminds us of that woman at the well, O God. Oh, the seed word that had been in her, yes. She has visited many places. But the day she entered here, Lord, she saw a difference, Lord. She saw the place where she could belong, Lord. Oh, Father, we commit her into your hands. The Lord, the word that she has received, God. Oh, let it be an artesian well in her. Oh, springing up onto everlasting life. That the whole of her life, oh God, and her family, Lord Jesus, oh, God, will be lost in you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, even for our pastor, oh Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, bless him and his family. As you have used him so much, oh God, in this way today, Lord, so let it be, oh God, continuous, Lord. When we come in here, Lord, we don't want to see a man, Lord. Oh, but through him, Lord, you will speak your word, oh God. Bring the life of God unto your church, Lord Jesus. Father, once again, we say thank you, Lord. As many of our brethren who had not been here, Lord, because of good reasons, Lord. Father, we commit them into your hands. Amen. The portion that we have received, Lord. Father, you are the omnipresent God. Yes. Father, let it be their portion wherever they are. Amen. Even Lord Jesus, our brother Nat came in. Oh, Lord, bless him, O God. Amen. Father, so also, Lord Jesus, we thank you for our precious brother Lubanza also in our midst, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you that his strength has been, O Lord, from you, Lord. Yes. And Father, we thank you that, Lord Jesus, he has come back, O God. Father, renew him, O Lord. Amen. Strengthen him, Lord. Yes. Replenish him, Lord. Amen. And Father, we want to commit everyone now into your hands. As we live here, O God, Father, we want to live in your name. Amen. Because there is no other name than the name Jesus Christ. Amen. So Lord, let that name go with us, Lord. Yes. Even if when we sing that song, take the name of Jesus with you, Lord. We want to take your name with you. Father, truly we have fallen in love with you, Jesus. Oh, because you first loved us, O God. Once again, Lord, we say thank you. The week before us, Lord, Father, we commit into your hands. The Lord, every footstep that we shall take, Lord, let your light, O God, be a light upon our footsteps, Lord. And having, as you said, you direct the footsteps of the righteous man, O God. Direct our footsteps, Lord, in our working places, in our homes, even in our schools, O Lord. Father, all we bring under that name. Bless your children. Bless your church. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing one as we dismiss. Brother George, you got one for us there, brother? God be with us as we dismiss. May the Lord grant a special holiday to the saints from Texas and be with them in their journey round and about. Amen.
Oh, my everlasting portion, old and friend, no life to give. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, he walk with me, oh, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, he walk with me. Shall be that no way I toil and suffer with me. He will bring me close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. That the way I turn and suffer, maybe he will pray me through the veil of shadows. Baby, all I see for sin, and again.